Even though a 69 billion rand bailout has been set aside for Eskom over the next 3 years, government still finds itself between a rock and a hard place when it comes to keeping the organization running. The struggling power utility has had to access an emergency bailout of 5 billion rand much earlier than anticipated, as the first payment was only due between August and October. Director General of National Treasury, Dondo Mogajane, joins us on the line now to discuss what this early access spells for the fiscus. Thanks so much, Dondo, for joining us this evening. Before we get there, it's been reiterated that South Africa's state-owned power utility is not on the brink of financial collapse. Are you convinced that the government has this problem well under control?
Alicia, thank you very much for having me on your show. I think it's important to recognize that Eskom is too big to fail, and that we shouldn't leave it to fail. We should do everything in our power as government to make sure that it continues to operate, because it's significantly important to our economy. Secondly, I think we're all aware of the challenges that the utility has in the past and even now. And we cannot just simply say we don't have an issue there and a challenge. We have, but we have to continue ensuring and finding ways to keep it alive and to save it and actually to support it where necessary.
Yeah. So let's go through then some of the detail on why this need to access emergency funding, surfaced now in particular, Dondo.
Look, in terms of they will have, on an annual basis, they've got their funding plan and funding strategy. Part of their funding strategy in the last financial year was to raise enough money to keep it afloat, because there's ins and outs, meaning income and expenditure on an ongoing basis. And part of the incoming resources and money was through the China Development Bank. And the last tranche of that bank money was about 7 billion that was due to come in the end of March. And unfortunately, for discussions between themselves, and also noting that we had to explain exactly what's happening in Eskom, the China Development Finance money could only come in later, not as anticipated in March. So that's when they ran out of money as part of their funding plan, and we had to make the emergency funding available as per Section 16 that we did the transfer 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so with that funding now being made available, I've got to ask you right now, where are your confidence levels sitting as far as the stride that's being made in turning Eskom around? Are you confident that government has this problem well under control?
We have it under control. Remember, there was a task team that the president had put together in December. That task team came up with some focused work around what needs to happen. In February and during the budget and during the State of the Nation, President announced the unbundling of Eskom and basically talking to a new business model for the entity. And we also said at the time that it's important that its capital structure must change. So work is underway currently between ourselves and Eskom and public enterprises to get this going. And we've got it under control in that we know when Eskom will need money, and we know at what point decisions will have to be made. Unfortunately, it's taking longer than expected, because we still have to put the chief restructuring officer in place. We have just almost on the verge of finalizing the terms of reference for the CRO. Once that is finalized, we'll obviously be finalizing the appointment of an individual or a group of individuals who will act as that and get the entity back on its track. And in that way, get the necessary support and decisions from government in terms of whether, we did say, by the way, 23 billion might not be enough. We didn't hide that. We said it mightn't be enough, it might not be enough based on the business needs. And as we look at the capital structure, we'll have to determine what do we do with Eskom's debt, what do we do with the current investors, and how do we actually put a new Eskom in place that will really be important and sustainable in the long term.
DG, with all of that being said, how soon do you anticipate the next tranche of that 23 billion pledged for this financial year getting paid out? And do you need to see any specific targets being hit, any stipulations being met, or is it a fait accompli at this stage?
It is not fait accompli. I think we have to ensure that the sustainability, there's some obligations on the Eskom side. on the cost side, they must ensure that they actually their costs are reduced in a way that makes it easy for the business to be sustainable. And by the way, because the budget process, I mean the appropriation process is still underway, a new parliament is going to be coming to vote in the appropriation bill that was passed in February into an act. Only 17.6 billion can only be made available before the official appropriation is made. But Alicia must make 3 points that are critical before I get off. Look, I said Eskom is too big to fail. It's important. You cannot let it collapse. But a grand bargain of some kind is needed in South Africa between labor, business, civil society, and government. And I think I'm actually making this call once more to say, labor must come to the party. I mean, the issues in Eskom, we know it's about numbers. The issue is about the pay levels. We have to sort that out at some point.
You talk about this grand bargaining, DG, that needs to happen here. Let's take a look at another broader problem, because a lot of the commentary that has surfaced is the fact that, you know, problems in the electricity supply industry go well beyond Eskom. It's in the fact that we don't have an integrated enough energy plan, although the law requires the Minister of Energy to publish one every year since 2008. Are we not pouring money into you know, a leaking bucket without that being firmly in place first?
Yes, the obligation in this grand bargain that I'm talking about, there's obligations for government. Government must finalize its IRP plan, and that is applicable to us as Treasury, to ensure that we play our part of the bargain in terms of ensuring that the policy framework around the future of energy in South Africa is dealt with and addressed. Without that, then we cannot sort of close shop, because if we are not, we cannot demonstrate that energy security is key to our sustainability as a country, then we don't have a future. So when I talk grand bargain, I'm not only putting obligations on labor or business or civil society, but I'm also placing obligations on ourselves as government to say, let's play our part and contribute to ensuring that there's a clear IRP in place that takes us forward as a country and as a in driving the economy of South Africa forward.
And you're having conversations with the various ministers on this, Minister of Energy, Minister of Public Enterprise, etc.
We are having that, and I think it's ongoing. Even today, my team is meeting we just confirmed our full-day meeting with the Department of Public Enterprise to really come up with one particular view now that we know ESCOM's challenges. And we've been talking, it's not going to be for the first time. So we are continuing to engage. And once we have finalized the business model and the capital structure, then the energy department obviously has to finalize the IRP, which, by the way, is there. It's not a new thing. It's not that it's not there.
Yeah.
But it's the government to speak with one voice on what the energy security is and the energy future is like for this country.
DG, before I let you go, I've got to ask you, as far as changes go, of course, you mentioned that there's this plan to separate Eskom into its three units. The Sunday Times reporting that Finance Minister Tito Mboweni was on the verge of appointing former APSA Group CEO Maria Ramos to head up that process of splitting Eskom up. Any merit behind that speculation?
Look, the Minister of Finance made it clear and he did explain. He was never, Alicia, at any point on the verge of appointing. I think it must be clear. He did indicate that Maria's name is one of the many names and options that we have. That's why I said earlier on we are looking at an individual or a group of individuals to play the role of the chief restructuring officer. It's an office. It's not an individual. So Maria's name is among many a name. So I think we should be given the opportunity to really go through this process clearly and very methodical in a way as to who we get to be actually the chief restructuring officer. And I think South Africans on this one must be patient with us. It's not going to be long that we finalize this important area of our work.
Well, DG, hopefully we catch up with you as all of these processes and developments unfold. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, that was Dondo Mogajane, who's Director General of National Treasury.